He is Jeff Phelps. I am Andy Baskin, and we are talking a little bit about the Guardians. So, Jeff, I'm just kind of digesting where the Guardians are. Obviously, we're in a great place right now. You know, they've locked up the second seed. That's amazing. They still have a shot at being the top seed in the American League. And, you know, for whatever that's worth, they still now have a couple days rest. They do not have to play in the wild card series. So that's going to sit as we wait to see how that shakes out. I mean, that may not wrap up until Sunday to see who the Guardians will get the winner of. So they still have to figure out what's going on with the wild card teams, all four of them. So it's going to be fun to sit back, watch, and see what happens, especially this weekend when Houston comes to town. I was just kind of looking at odds, and while we're extremely excited and trying to, I don't know, figure out how far they can go with this thing, I've been looked at FanDuel, our good friends at FanDuel. I've been looking at their odds, and to win the World Series, they're 13-1, which puts them third best in the American League. The Dodgers are have the best chance, according to the odds, of winning the World Series. Then the Phillies, the Yankees, the Astros, the Orioles, the Padres, then the Guardians, and then the Brewers after that. So again, they're going off at 13-1 to win the World Series. I don't know. I think that's kind of intriguing. You know, they're in the middle of the pack there. I just don't know what's going to happen. You get hot, you can win it. And
that's the thing about baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you play 162, it's clear who the best teams are. But then they throw that away, and you add all of these teams into the playoffs, and you win a best of three, you advance. You win a best of five, you advance. You win a best of seven, you advance. Any team...
Best of seven, right? It's 3-7-7, isn't it?
3-5-7.
Double check that. That's okay. Keep going.
It's... And I thought it was 3-7-7 as well.
Oh, you did.
But it's 3-5-7.
Okay.
Any team can get hot. If you get into the postseason, you can get hot. The White Sox, in theory, could get hot, but they're not in there. But so that's why I understand, you know, why you do that and all. And but any team can get hot and go.
Yep. I mean, we sit here, we talk about the rotation if you want to too again. But I kind of feel like, you know what? If there's ever been a year for this team to break through and with zero expectations and for some reason, I kind of think they're built to be this kind of playoff darling this year, to be able to.
Because you've enjoyed the story and you want to see it continued.
Yeah.
That's no guarantee of anything as we both know. You know, the thing about this one right now, Andy, to me is this. Lane Thomas has warmed up. Kyle Manzardo has come back from Columbus and looks like a completely different hitter. Jose is hitting the ball just fine. Josh Naylor's hitting the ball just fine. That's four guys. That's more than we had before. Stephen Kwan's coming back. What's he going to look like? If Stephen finds something again, that's five guys. All of a sudden, this lineup looks a heck of a lot better than we thought it was going to. John Kenzie Noel's been in September. Maybe he warms up. You know, right now, and as much as we all like him and the pop he can provide, he's not hitting very well in September. I would like to see him have a couple of good games here to close the season. That's my concern, is this team won't hit in the postseason. But Lane Thomas has been terrific. Thank goodness. And Kyle Manzardo has been a great addition here in September.
Bybee lock up the...
Oh, there's no question.
The number one...
No question.
...start in the playoffs?
As long as it falls okay. And I would think it would.
Well, I don't see why
you're
going to
get the extra time off, so you can do anything you want, really.
Yeah, I mean, he goes from the 24th. He won't see another game until, what, October 1st? Right? He wouldn't see another game until October 1st. So I would think, Dan, do you agree with that Bybee's locked up the spot to be the game one starter?
Heck yeah.
Okay,
who else is he throwing out there?
Well, I look.
And he won seven.
That's not meant to be a smart aleck thing. That's meant to be like a good job, Tanner Bybee.
And he went
nice
seven
job,
yesterday.
Bud. Yeah, that's why. That was the reason.
I like the idea of a guy going seven innings. Let's see if he can do it again.
The thought of not having to use the bullpen? Wow. Especially, we sit around and we talk about how burned out they should be, but they're not. And they're just resilient, that bullpen. You can tell them, oh, you've pitched too many innings, or I can't believe that they've tried. Who cares? What's the difference? I don't know why, but these guys have been able to shake off especially the bullpen, has been able to shake off any criticism you might think. And it's not like we're criticizing them. It's the usage of the bullpen and whether they're going to be able to maintain throughout the playoffs. And now Bibee's looking at, he'll throw a bullpen. He might even have to throw two bullpens before he gets back out if they're going to make him the game one starter. So now, you know, when you look at these next four games, who are your other starters going to be? And I kind of like this. I like the fact that it's not set in stone, that you know exactly what you're going to do. And
no,
that,
I wish it was.
I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it.
That way you knew you were rock solid there. You got a real good idea. It's going to be Bibee. It's going to be Matthew Boyd. If Cobb's healthy, it's going to be Alex Cobb. I mean, you're not going to not throw Alex Cobb if he's healthy and good to go. He's going to get a start in the postseason. He's a gamer.
I want to see him here. It'll be interesting to see how long they let Cantillo go tonight and see what he can do against Cincinnati. I don't know. I really, really like this kid. I hope he gets – I'd love to see him get a start. I just don't know.
You'll see him next year.
Why wouldn't you stay with him now, though? He's red hot.
I can't disagree with you.
I wonder where the –
I wonder how many guys you're going to start. I mean, you're going to be in a five-game series.
Hopefully you only have to start three.
You're going to be – yeah. It'd be nice.
But. And then maybe you could be able to use him as your fourth pitcher in the ALDS. I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks – you could stick him in the top three and let him pitch in this, in that DS.
Well, if Alex Cobb's not good to go, Andy, I would think Cantillo would be a very logical choice.
What's the last update we've had on Cobb? Anybody hear anything recently? Did you hear anything in the clubhouse last night? Nothing, just kind of wait and see?
Just still day-to-day. Bullpen went well a few days ago. Still just trying to figure out next steps. I don't really feel too confident about it, because I guess he's just a pitcher that has hand problems and blisters that just come up a lot. So, I don't know. I'd be a little tentative with him.
You're not confident that they'll use him to start, or you're not confident he'll be able to pitch in the playoffs?
I'm not confident that he'll be able to pitch. I think Stephen Vogt likes him. Obviously, his last start against the Pirates was really encouraging through near a perfect game through six innings. I'm just a little cautious with what we can get out of him in the postseason.
Look, you were in the clubhouse last night. What's the mood in there right now? I mean, they've got to have a ton of confidence. I mean, they're coming up with big wins.
Yeah, I'd say vibes are really high. I mean, they were talking about the AL Central rankings and how the Tigers have really surged up to being the number two spot right now in the Central. And I think right now it's still day-to-day because that's Vogt's message and they approach every day the same. But they're going to start projecting to these playoffs here soon.
Did you take a bottle of champagne out of there last night or not?
There was no champagne last night.
I'm not telling you. Oh, that was fake champagne from last night? All of this stuff is Photoshop that's out there right now? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Perhaps.
So no champagne last night. That's false. That's flying around there. Those T-shirts about Cincinnati being in Kentucky, that's false too, right? I need verification from you. You were there just making sure that we don't believe our eyes, what we see on social media. Hammer it home, baby. Say it's all fake.
It is all fake.
There you go. Wow. We are about truth. Truth here on Baskin and Phelps. Robert's in Brecksville. Hi, Robert.
Hey, so you said Bibee started yesterday, right? Because I have paid attention. Who's
yes.
All right. So wouldn't he so I got a few questions about that. Wouldn't he start on the 29th, the last game, or mathematically, like, for five games?
Wait, what, I'm confused. What are you asking?
First, wouldn't he be starting on the 29th anyways? Because you said he might not pitch until game one of the ALDS.
Yeah,
because
they're
2 weeks. But
they're lined up to have all five of their guys over the last five games. So Bibee, okay. Cantillo, Lively, Boyd, Williams.
So where I'm going with this is I'm going to throw two scenarios at you, and then I want to ask you a question about it.
Sure.
Going into the 29th, either A, we have already clinched the number one seed to where it's essentially a meaningless game, or B, going into the 29th, we are mathematically eliminated from the one seed. Wouldn't you think it would be better to, since we're going to have that 7-8 days off, to do a bullpen game anyways to get all of our guys in a bullpen some work so they're not off for seven straight days? Wouldn't that be a better idea instead of having them start?
Well, I mean,
or have BB start for like a couple of batters, 3-4 batters, and then just essentially do a whole bullpen game so everybody gets a little bit of work.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carl Willis is great at this. They'll have everybody ready to go when they need to go, Robert. I don't mean to poo-poo your strategy on that. It could work. Whatever they decide to do.
You guys work and live sports. I just listen to it.
Carl will be putting these guys in the proper spot so that they are ready, fresh, good to go when it's time to throw in the playoffs.
I just want to see what you thought on it.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Again, October 1st is when the playoffs start. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the phone call. So you're looking at when you get to the divisional series, that's October 5th. So you're looking at his next start could be October 5th. I don't know. I said first. Sorry about that. That's when the wild card series start. The divisional series start on Saturday, October 5th. So wow, I mean, you could be looking at not pitching till a week from Saturday. It's a lot of days off. I don't know, but you keep throwing bullpens.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, so 24. You're looking at 5, 7, 12 days off.
I would rather deal with time off than have to win a three-game series to get to the next round. So there.
Fair enough. I agree. Give it a chance.
That's why you try and win as many games so that you can avoid that three-game series.
Andrew Siciliano from the Browns Radio Network. Also, you'll be able to hear him call the Ohio State game on Peacock on Saturday night. He will join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is the busiest man in North America this weekend. You'll hear him call both the Ohio State Michigan State game on Peacock Saturday night. And of course, you know him and love him from the Browns Radio Network. You'll be able to hear him call the Browns and Raiders on Sunday. He is Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Busiest or luckiest? One of the two, guys. Good morning.
A little of both. How about that?
Congratulations.
Okay. I'll go with luckiest. Yeah.
All right, first let's start with the Browns. The offensive line is an absolute mess right now. How do they figure this thing out, my friend?
Oh, I mean, a lot depends on health, clearly. The issue is that when healthy, and they have not really been fully healthy, say, for a quarter or two this past week, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. Communication seems to be an issue, picking up twists and stunts. Definitely seems to be an issue. Teams are going to just blitz them to death until they figure out, A, who's healthy, and B, what they can stop. And right now, that's the biggest issue. I mean, I never thought that. If you had told me last week on Sunday morning Jed Wills back. Hey, he's back. He's in the lineup. I know Jack Conklin tweaked the hamstring last week, but at least you got the guy on the right side, DeJuan Jones, who was all rookie team last year and started half the season and played well and was everyone's rookie darling. And you get Jed back on the left side. Look, this is to go Star Wars here. This battle station is fully operational. If we were going to end the game with Joel Bitonio at left tackle and Posick at left guard and Nick Harris at center and Zach Sinner at right guard, I would have opened up a bottle and started drinking early. How about that? I did not think that's what we were going to see. Look, Joel can hold it down if need be, and Nick Harris actually played pretty well at center. It's just not ideal. And when you can't get that part figured out, then you can't get the run game figured out. You can't get the blitz pickup figured out, and you're struggling for answers. And hopefully we get some of them today, but in reality, no matter what answers we get today, I think everybody knows you're not really going to get him until you get on the field on Sunday.
Andrew, the expression you hear from linemen all the time, we'd prefer to run block than pass block. I would think if you have issues on your offensive line, you'd be better off run blocking. As you just said, there are certainly some issues there. But in a game that didn't seem to get away from you, even though you were down 21-7 at halftime, you ran only 12 times with your running backs. I was surprised by that. Is that something they get back to, or do you? What do you think?
I mean, I would love to see more of it, certainly. And this is something, guys, we talked about last week, considering what the Browns did with the heavy sets and running in Jacksonville with the jumbo personnel on the field. The Giants came into that game 72% light box. In other words, 72% of the light box and favorable run looks from that defense. Now, to be fair, some of that came from the fact that they had played the Commanders the week before. Washington spreads everything out, takes it sideline to sideline, and the Giants' defense, in turn, is spread out. And those numbers through only 2 weeks were skewed. Obviously, running the football against a team with those numbers and with that advantageous look, you'd think you would do. The Browns did not come out that way. I would think some of that has to do with the fact that you had Jed back and you thought you had your base personnel that you could win with. But the turnovers, the strip sack leading to the late touchdown in the second quarter. And then let's not forget, they were moving. They had the momentum. I mean, I if you had told me they were going to lose after the two-point conversion to Judy, I would have laughed at you. I mean, the energy was back in the building. The bark, if you want to say that, was back in the building. And they got the ball back. And, I mean, the Jerome Ford fumble in midfield just sunk you. It just flat-out sunk you. He's not the only reason they lost. But, I mean, that was the gut punch from which they could not recover.
All right, so let me nitpick just a little bit here. Why did they have success in that fourth quarter? What happened there that wasn't happening in the beginning of the game?
I mean, they went hurry up. They got the ball out quickly, and they found Amari a couple of times. And, you know, they made some plays. They also had this, what was it, a 16-yard run by Deshaun to mm-hmm. get him down there to set up the first touchdown, which, if memory serves, was the longest run of the day. You know, it was one where the ball could have come out. It didn't come out. And then, you know, he somehow got through traffic. And he made a great play. That was, you know, I hate to say that was the Deshaun at Houston. Well, I mean, look, that was a guy that still has the athletic ability to make those plays when need be. Do you do more with the quarterback run game? I don't know. You also don't want to get the guy killed. He's been pressured 57 times and, you know, hit every time you look up.
Is the defense okay in your mind?
I think it's been okay for about 85% of the time, and they've given up some long drives, certainly. I think it was okay in the second half. They cleaned things up last week. I mean, it was okay when Ronnie Hickman had the pick. And again, talk about momentum.
Yeah.
That pick obviously got overturned right then and there. I think the defense, if you still needed it to win games, absolutely. And I still think that there is greatness in this defense. Have you guys watched the Raiders yet from last week?
I have not, no.
Okay, I did that last night. They're not good. they're just not. They're as bad a run team as there is in the NFL. Gardner Minshew, who, look, gave the Browns a lot of trouble with Shane Steichen calling plays, and that's significant here. Not Luke Getsy. I'm not disparaging Luke Getsy, but it was a different offense is my point.
Right.
They had different backs. They had different talent. Gardner Minshew gave him a lot of trouble last year, but there's not, you know, Trey Tucker could take the top off with, you know, the former Cincinnati Bearcat. He's got a lot of downhill speed, but it's Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams this week, and no one on defense. Max Crosby's banged up.
Right.
I mean, he's out there fighting, but he's banged up.
I think Antonio Pierce's comments, though, about guys making business decisions might work in their favor this week. I'm curious to see how they respond to that, because when a coach calls out your team, that's pretty serious in week three.
It is, and I forgot Christian Wilkins on defense, obviously the former Dolphin who's up there in the middle of the line, another defensive tackle that Deshaun played with at Clemson last week. It was Dexter Lawrence. I am very curious to see how that turns out. Look, he has the respect of his locker room. He is a former player. He's the only coach that wears an earring, as far as I can tell. So he's a different dude. I love him. Everything I've ever done with Antonio Pierce over the years, I love the guy. But if you're going to call your team out like that and say we're going to make business decisions, he was asked on the podium on Monday, what are those decisions? And he said, I haven't talked to the team yet. Okay, well, I'm curious. You kind of sort of have to make them, right, if you're going to threaten them like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they? My colleague Ian Rappaport has already said it's not going to be the quarterback. It is still going to be Minshew. Max Crosby went on the air Monday and said he still wants Minshew. So what are those business decisions? I mean, they are in the midst of a roster makeover with new GM Tom Telesco. There are only so many decisions you can truly make and put a good product out there. So I am fascinated at what they look like this week.
Telesco, one of the many John Carroll alums working around the NFL.
Absolutely.
What's Devontae Adams have left? Or is that not even a fair question? Is he still the guy?
He's still the guy. Is he the same guy he was 4 years ago? Probably not. If you threw him with the Jets with Aaron Rodgers right now, would he get 12 targets and probably catch seven of them for $115? Yeah. He's still the guy.
Okay.
And he's still big. He could still get every contested catch. And don't think he won't run by you because he still can.
I don't want to let you go before I ask you about Ohio State because they're at Michigan State this week. On paper, you might say, okay, this might be their biggest challenge so far. We'll see how this thing goes against Michigan State. But I do think the one thing Ohio State's getting better at every week is their offensive line is getting better. But they've got so many weapons. Your thoughts on this game that you're going to be calling on Saturday night on Peacock?
Donovan Jackson coming back last week was huge. Mm-hmm. They're going a lot sideline to sideline, rather taking the strikes downfield. I mean, the one deep ball by Will Howard last week was, I don't want to say it was a bit underthrown, but I know Joe Klapp pointed out on the broadcast, you put a little extra air out there, maybe Jermaine goes and gets it. I'm excited by this team. I mean, you see Judkins run. I mean, not to take away from Craig Brown Henderson, but you see Judkins run. I mean, the stiff arm on that run around left end of the end zone last week where he just planted a guy. It was Nick Chubb, like helmet, face, hand to the side of the helmet right to the ground. I am excited to see them play, and I'm curious to talk to Ryan Day this week. Do you miss calling plays? Because Chip and the variety in that running game, it's really, really fun to watch right now.
Yeah, make sure you get your bring your Sharpie for Jeremiah Smith to get an autograph after that game. That kid is something else. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is something else. And tip the cap to like Carnell Tate as well, who you got 4 and 5 stars out there blocking, and they are physical in the run game. They have to be on the perimeter. It is really fun to watch.
It is. Let's see what happens this week. It's going to be great. I can't wait to hear you both times this weekend, not only on Peacock for Ohio State, Michigan, but, of course, enjoy doing the pregame show. Get ready for Fact or Fiction before the game as the Browns take on. It's the Browns take on.
That's part of the week.
Really, that should be, I hope you're not really studying too hard for the games. Worry about Fact or Fiction. That's all I really care about. So
you got it, guys.
It's all about me. Thank you, Andrew.
See you, Andrew.
You must enjoy Fact or Fiction. It's not an inside joke. I'm just telling you. You want to be a part of that for the pregame show. 216-474-0092. Andrew Siciliano, again, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris Rose is going to join us here. That was Andrew Siciliano talking about the offensive line. And, we're all looking at it. And I know what he said about the Raiders. But in the back of my mind, that stupid any given Sunday and they're at home. They're using Scotch tape and rubber bands to put together an offensive line this week when you consider how many guys are hurt. And it's just a concern. I wonder how they're going to adjust. I wonder how they're going to be able to. And maybe this is the best week possible to play a team like the Raiders, but I don't know. I just don't take anything for granted in this league.
Not at all?
No, I don't. I watched Dallas the first week of the season, and I was like, what? And then the next week they go into New Orleans, and my head is spinning. Then I watch, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe New Orleans is awesome. They put like 80-some points on the board the first 2 weeks, and then last week they play Philly, and all of a sudden they came back to reality. But they have 6 points in that game. So I don't know what to expect, and I expect the unexpected in the NFL, and maybe that's exactly the way they want us to view the sport, because it sucks you in and doesn't let you go. And you could sit here all week and think your team is horrible and they stink and your quarterback is brutal and your head coach has no idea what he's doing, and then they put together a good game, and it doesn't matter if they're first team or the last team in the NFL according to rankings. A win is a win in this league, and I just you cherish it. And all of a sudden you look and how do you think Steeler fans feel? They got to be sitting there going, are we for real? Are we for real? But they're playing mistake-free football, and that's why they're able to accomplish what they're able to do with a strong defense. I don't know. I'm going to feel uneasy at all points of the season, and even if you tell me the Browns are going to win by 150 this week, I'm still going to be uneasy about it.
What's NFL stand for?
Not for long.
That's exactly what everybody says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really is true about perception of your team and what people think of your team. And that could be good or bad. You get hot, all of a sudden, but you're the greatest thing ever. For instance, the Minnesota Vikings. Eric Edholm, who has been on our show before, and Eric's a really good writer for NFL.com, has his power rankings out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And after week 3. And first of all, he can completely confirms what we talked about yesterday. Who are the best two teams? Who do you think are the two best teams in the league?
Kansas City and Buffalo, without a doubt,
right now. He has them 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Buffalo's up two spots to number two. Then he has the Vikings at number three. And, okay, Vikings jump. Are you ready?
That makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, just because you won, you started 3-0, they've jumped 12 spots all the way up to number three. And see, that's what we talked about yesterday. After those top two teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, who is it? Well, okay, and we even said, let's see more out of Minnesota. There's nobody else who's really knocking down the door who's making you think that's the case. Detroit moved up one spot to number four. So, I mean, after Buffalo and Kansas City, man, it gets, I think.
It's murky, right?
It's wide open.
And I can understand why you put Minnesota in there, because they're undefeated.
If you're looking at our division, Ravens are eighth right now in Ed Holmes' power rankings. And then the Steelers are ninth. They jump up five spots. Why? Their defense is really pretty good. So 8 and 9 for those two teams. And you keep scrolling down, the Niners dropped from 2 to 12.
Wow.
This is just, I mean, this is completely, boy, not for long. You play a bad game, boom, you're getting busted. Chargers dropped 7 spots down to number 14. You notice we haven't talked about anybody in particular yet. Commanders had one nice game against the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
They jumped 12 spots from 28 to 16.
It showed so up in primetime. That's
well, but
why.
To me, this is a little, and I think Eric's a really good writer. This is a little reactionary.
Yeah, but maybe.
I think it's all reactionary.
If Jaden Daniels is finally kind of getting his feet in the ground and you want to give him two games to get ready for it.
Okay, then, you jump from 28 to 16. One game jumps you from being one of the worst teams in the league to middle of the pack. Okay.
Well, who's behind them?
Well, a lot of teams. Your Dallas Cowboys. Hmm. They dropped 6. So that's not good. We're down to 19. Rams. Notice who I haven't mentioned yet.
No, I know who you
haven't mentioned.
Bengals
dropped 5 games. There are 5 spots down to 21. Notice who I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I know, but the Bengals' defense is what their record is. That their offense is
3.
Not.
Dolphins don't have Tua. Dolphins drop 8 to 25.
The Dolphins don't have a quarterback.
Notice who I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I know.
At 26. In Eric Ed Holmes power rankings, our Cleveland Browns dropping 8 spots. Mm. And he starts it fairly. A crisis has now turned into an epidemic. And he's talking offensive line. He's right about that. And then he talks about Deshaun. And he said, a strange, troubling start to the season in Cleveland. You want to make it worse for a strange, troubling start?
Sure.
Team the Browns play this week, the Raiders ranked 28th. Does that make this a must win?
No, I just...
Giants are 29th. Giants beat the Browns and move up two spots, but they're still 29th.
That makes it worse.
Jaguars drop 7 to 30. So 3 of the top 4 opponents for the Browns to start the season are ranked right now 28th, 29th, and 30th. Man, you better win this game.
Wow, the Jags have lost 8 straight with Trevor Lawrence.
Boy, and Trevor's getting berated on all fronts. And maybe deservedly so. Did you see the story that came out about him yesterday? Florio on Pro Football Talk went back and some old comments from Trevor were dragged up. And he made sure that everybody had a clear thought on those. But it was that Trevor Lawrence basically said, my life is not all about football, and I can have a wonderful life without football. And people took that the wrong way.
How long ago did he say
it? It was when he came out in the draft, and he was the number one overall pick. But he then clarified and said, hey, look, I love this stuff. I work hard. I love it as much as anybody else. But, you know, it's not all that defines me. Good for him. I think that's fair. I do. But I also think he better start playing better.
Well, I also think that it was fair in the power rankings on NFL.com when they said Deshaun Watson and the Browns had 0 answers for the Giants' pressure packages. They didn't. And he was sacked eight times on 45 dropbacks. Watson has held on to the ball too long. Fair criticism. No argument there. But not every sack is on him. I like the fact that that was a part of the piece. The Browns simply don't have the offensive identity with all of these issues. And Sunday provided proof that their strong defense can't bail them out of trouble every single week. A strange, troubling start to the season in Cleveland. I mean, very fair. And do you think they are? Do you think they should be higher than 26? They no. dropped eight spots.
Well, I do, probably. I do. And the reason I say that is because I just think that these rankings are a little reactionary. I mean, one win, one loss shouldn't drop you or elevate you as much as he has elevated guys. But it's at this very moment is what he's basing this on. And so, you know, you could make the argument at this very moment. Like, for instance, the Broncos got a win, and a good win, over mm-hmm. Tampa. They jumped up eight spots. You know, I mean, that's a lot. The one thing I think we all need to keep in mind here, do you remember for many years, the New England Patriots had serious, serious offensive line issues?
Yeah.
And they were getting guys injured. They weren't, you know, they're just trying to put pieces in there. They're bringing guys in and blah, 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 and they kept winning. They had offensive line issues, and they made it work. At some point here, you're not going to be able to just keep saying about the Browns, and not that anybody's completely using it as an excuse. At some point, you're going to have to just deal with it and figure it out. Otherwise, just go ahead and pitch the whole season. I mean, okay, your offensive line's beat up. Well, then figure it out. Your quarterback has to get the ball out more. Maybe you have to run. Maybe you have to run wide. Maybe you run pass option.
Maybe you run more screens.
Figure something out. I mean, you can't just sit there and go, well, our line's beat up. Let's drop him back in the pocket and have him stand there for 7 seconds. And Deshaun, you go ahead and hang on to it for another two more. You can't do that. It at some point, it has to be figured out. Okay, this is the reality. How do we deal with the reality? Patriots did it for years. But, of course, the Patriots had somebody at quarterback who got the ball out in about 3 seconds.
Kevin Stefanski's at noon today. I'll be interested to see if they brought in any offensive linemen yesterday to work out and if there's anybody that possibly could end up either on the practice squad or maybe I don't think that there's guys out there right now to put on the active roster immediately. But part of that's going to have to depend on Wyatt Teller and how long they're going to keep him out. I mean, if he looks like he's out for 4 weeks, then you put him on the injured reserve. I also would like to hear an update on Nick Chubb and to see if there's a chance he's back next week.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no what? I don't want the information.
I don't know, Andy. I know.
We have not heard one word about Nick Chubb. And by the way, we're not going to hear anything
today.
Is
that telling?
No, that's not telling. That's the Browns not wanting to say anything. They're just not saying anything. Look, it felt like he was close when the season started, or at least he was moving in the right direction from the folks that were out in Berea watching practice every day. It'd be nice to see if there's a shot that he's close.
I'm so cautious here.
Yeah, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but on this one I will. I think you are just waiting. You are going to wait until you hear the Browns say he's active before you'll actually believe it.
Yeah, I want to see him on the field before I believe it. And his knee was destroyed. For a second time. I'm not hurrying that guy at all. Neither are they. And I'm so erring on the side of caution, it's going to be ridiculous.
If he can come back and be at 80 to 90%.
They're running the ball 12 times anyway.
Maybe they'll
backs.
Run the ball more with him.
Yeah, which is what you don't need to do right now.
What, run Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
Why would you not need to do that?
Is just coming back from a devastating knee injury.
Well, you're not going to put him out there if you can't let him make plays.
Exactly my point. Just be patient.
216-474-0092. Chris Rose joins us next. NFL Network, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We bring him in. He is a super friend of the show. You know him and love him. He is Chris Rose, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Chris.
How are you?
Good. I'm still laughing from the line you had on your show Sunday night about, was it the ball or the player that was hiding underneath the graphic? I was watching your show and I literally fell off the couch laughing because it was such a good line. Bravo, my friend. Bravo.
Thank you. I'm allowed one a month. I'll see you in October.
All right, we'll catch you next month. Let's start with the Browns, man. That offensive line is a mess, and, you know, you're going to Vegas this week, so maybe they can put some things together against a team that's struggling as well. Your thoughts on the Browns?
Tough to watch. Tough watch. Where do we start? Yeah, the offensive line's a mess. We don't know who's going to be out there, particularly at the tackle position. We know Zach Zinter is going to be there for the next month. It's rough. I mean, it's an awful look. And, I don't have any answers. I don't.
Are you preparing yourself for a very long season? How's that sound?
I mean, I'm not willing to throw it out yet. I'm just not. I mean, there's been plenty of teams that have started 1-2 and have gotten it going. I mean, for God's sakes, the Steelers have won 3 games and scored 3 touchdowns. Like, it doesn't take that much. And by the way, points are way down in the NFL. Andy Dalton last week became the first quarterback to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a game. So, you know, defenses are keeping things in front of them, making you make the conservative choice, things of that nature. With all that being said, our quarterback's not playing well, and our offensive line is playing poorly, too. And we gave the ball to Deontay Foreman twice last week. I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either, especially after the 14 carries the week before, Chris. And even though the Giants had the lead, it wasn't like it was an insurmountable lead where you had to ditch the running game. You had 12 carries to your running backs. Well, was that game that in their minds it got away from them? Was that this is what Ken Dorsey wants to do more in his offense, or was it, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
We're all trying to figure it out.
Okay,
and it's tough. It's I don't know what the thought process was when you're going against a team that was susceptible against the run coming in. I mean, we had a 7-point lead after 10 seconds. And so, you know, it didn't get away from us until, you know, the neighbor's touchdown right before the half made it a 2-score game. And then you just feel pressed. I mean, there was a great article in The Athletic about how our receivers aren't separating. They're among the league's worst in terms of separation and speed and things of that nature. So I just think we have to take that all into account and figure out. I mean, it puts a ton of pressure on the defense because, like, I think you feel like if we give up more than 21 points, we're not going to win, and that is a tough way to go. It doesn't mean it can't change. It's just, that's rough.
A thought for you, and I know it didn't work for him real well in New York, and it didn't work real well in Kansas City. Does there come a point here where they give Kadarius Toney a real look who's on the practice squad?
I mean, it's possible. Yeah, it is possible now that David Bell is out the year. You're going to need another guy to step up. You know, listen, I championed Cedric Tillman from the minute we drafted him. I liked him a lot. I thought he was really could have been a really productive receiver. And once again, this is the start of his second year, so I'm not willing to say that this is the next Anthony Schwartz with a different skill set.
Yeah.
But he's got to make plays. He's got to make plays. It just stinks because everything compounds itself, right? Once you feel the pressure, oh, my God, I've got to make every play. And then, you know, guys will tell you they don't play relaxed and free and easy when they're feeling that. That's too bad. Man, oh man, God, 1-2. It does feel like the sky's falling.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
at all.
Chris, I'm listening to what you're saying too, and I'm still trying to figure out how you can make a fair assessment of Deshaun Watson when he's en route to having be sacked 90 times this season. How do you make a fair assessment of what we're watching here?
Well, I do it by listening to guys I trust, guys who have played the games. I had a guy send me. He breaks down quarterback video, and this isn't just some guy on the internet who thinks he knows. This is a guy who has seen it happen at a very high level, meaning the NFL, was one of the best to ever do it. And he goes, what's going on with your quarterback? And he would send me these video clips with him narrating. He goes, once again, I'm not in the room, but... And I said, please stop sending me these. It was bad enough when I watched it live the first time. I appreciate what you're trying to do by educating me. Please stop. I would like to put a hold on my quarterback 101 education.
So what's the biggest thing you got out of watching the ones that you did? Are things correctable?
I don't know, because the correction comes with a guy who needs to do a better job of reading what's going on in the field. And I know that Kevin came out yesterday and said, I mean, what else is he supposed to say about his quarterback? Yeah, guys, I don't trust him. He's not seeing the field very well. That's not going to go over great. I mean, the one thing that I admire about Kevin Stefanski is that he hasn't blown up one guy in his now 4+ years as head coach.
Isn't that true?
Publicly.
Yeah.
He never does it. And that is because that's the first way to lose a locker room or a clubhouse in any sport, is to do that. And he doesn't do it. But I imagine behind closed doors, he can't be thrilled with what he is seeing on tape from a lot of different areas, including his quarterback. I mean, Jordan Akins is standing wide open on a fourth down play. Wide open in the NFL. It's a play that not only would have extended a drive. Listen, Greg Joseph did us a favor. I don't know if he was a double agent that day and missed a field goal to keep us in the game. But, I mean, he's got to start making some plays. I don't know what else to say, guys.
The one thing about it is only 3 games, Chris, and Andy and I talked about that yesterday. I mean, and you're right, it feels like the sky's falling, but it is only 3 games. The one thing that I find interesting, you have Ken Dorsey, a little different approach to the offense. We're trying to figure out exactly what that is, but I don't know if you can figure out exactly what it is with the line issues that you're having. And it's so convoluted, it's really tough to pinpoint what you need to fix. I would think, first and foremost, if you can get Deshaun to get rid of the ball a little bit more quickly, I mean, you're going to have to do that for him to survive, are you not?
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's brutal right now. But that's a league-wide epidemic. You know, I watch every game, right? And I just see what's going on with these offensive lines. I mean, it's like, listen, parents, if you have a kid that's big right now, I don't know what you got to do. Keep having them get bigger and quick feet, because they will get paid an immense amount of money.
Well,
there just aren't enough humans walking the earth to protect quarterbacks at this point. They just aren't. And the defenses are so fast. So fast. Like, you're about to watch Max Crosby this weekend, and you think that he's not pissed off after, you know, giving up 36 points to the Carolina Panthers? The Carolina Panthers? Like, he is going to come out, and whomever is lined up across from him, it's going to be like one of those movies where there's a stud player in high school, and he's just really ticked off because somebody on the offense tried to date his girl, and he's going to, like, be ready to rip somebody's head off. Look out.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears to something a little bit more positive. Let's talk about the Guardians and Rose rotation. So Austin Hedges is on, right? And kind of give us a little sneak peek into what we could hear if we want to listen to the podcast.
So we covered a ton of things, celebrations, why they did champagne showers twice in less than a week, why he felt like that was important. Amazing stuff on the difference that Stephen Vogt has made on this team. Like, really great inside stuff. And then we talked a lot about Emmanuel Clase. And I believe we have the clip where it started to get around social media today. I want everybody to give a listen to this.
Emmanuel Clase, and we've talked about him before on this show. Is he the best pitcher you have ever caught?
I think he's, through this amount of time, he's the best pitcher ever. I think he's the best pitcher ever.
Hold on. In the history of the sport?
Yes. Through 200-ish innings, he's the best pitcher ever. I would love to compare the numbers. He's better than Mariano. If you need 3 outs, that guy, that's the best pitcher of all time to get 3 outs. He's got a long way to go to be the best of all time, right? Because longevity matters. But at 26 years old with these numbers and that many innings. I mean, we're talking about he needs a few more saves. He's got to beat Helsley. If he does, that's 3 years in a row leading all of MLB in saves, which has never been done before. I mean, this guy added a new pitch essentially this year to shape his cutter even more to the bottom of the zone at 101. So yes, I would hold firmly to that he is the best pitcher of all time through this amount of time.
Wow.
That's pretty strong words there on your podcast. Make sure you're listening. Rose Rotation. Did you have to pick yourself up off the floor after you heard that, or what'd you think?
Well, I imagine you saw my face on the clip, and I was shocked. And that's why I doubled back and said, in the history of the game. And, you know, I know that Austin's obviously going to bat for the dude that he works with, but he really, like, I think he believes so much in what he has to catch for a living. And then there's a second part that I wish we had actually put in the clip where I said, do you have guys that walk into the batter's box and basically tell you, I've got no shot against this guy? His answer is amazing. So go, even if you just want to fast forward, we always put timestamps in there so you can go to our YouTube channel, you know, on Jam Baseball. Go click the link and go click the timestamp if you just want to listen to the Class A. But I highly suggest you listen to a lot of it because it's so Cleveland-centric. But I got a lot of, you know, morons on social media who either don't want to listen, can't listen, or can't read. It said through 200 innings, he's the best pitcher. And everybody's like, he's 500 saves short of Mariano. How could you say that? Hey, meathead, he said through the first 200 innings of his career, he said longevity matters. I mean, just follow what he's saying here. And you can disagree with him by all means, but don't do the rest of it. Like, just please pay attention a little bit.
Any chance he gets the Cy Young? Scooble's got it, no. Or you think he's going to get it, or he's got a shot?
Scooble's going to get it. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if he's unanimous. People, unfortunately, are so biased, which I understand towards starting pitching, particularly in today's game when a guy's going seven shutty to get his 18th win of the year and leads in the ERA and strikeouts and everything. It's great. The one thing I said about Class A on our daily podcast, Baseball Today, was you have to understand his importance in on a team that is going to finish with a bye and win its division pretty much going away. Like, everybody knows that the Guardians' best feature is their bullpen. It starts with having the most lockdown guy in the sport. So his importance to our team is second to none as far as any pitcher goes in baseball this year. Second to none. Even Chris Sale is going to run away with the Cy Young in the National League. I mean, you can't build your bullpen when you're like, I don't know, our closer's pretty good. He is dominant, but he'll finish runner-up, I think. He might even finish third behind Corbin Burns. People just, when they don't pay attention to you on a daily basis, you're not going to get the votes.
Chris, I think it's interesting. He was not necessarily his usual lockdown self last year. You heard Austin say a few things about, you know, what he worked on and how he improved. I mean, to have an ERA under one is just stunning. And Austin pointed out something that I think we all need to remember. He's only 26 years old. He'll be 27 for next season, but he's only 26 years old. This is amazing.
Yeah, he talked a lot about his maturity and how that has helped take him to the next level. He also had a fantastic line in there, which I found fascinating, about elite athletes. That you'll want to listen to. Hedges is really good. I know that he gets a lot of crap because he hits 170 or whatever, but he's really important to this team. I don't have to say it again. Like, his energy is very important. Go see where we were last year without him. Go see where we were the year before with him. Go see where we are right now. It's not always about hitting 30 home runs and driving in 85. That's what a team is all about, and finding the right guys that fit in the right places. And, you know, I think he's going to follow in Stephen Vogt's footsteps. I really do. I think he's going to be a manager shortly after he's done playing.
Chris, last question for you, too. The Guardians are going to get a bye here. They're guaranteed no less than the second seed in the American League. Your thoughts on, you know, having the rest, because they're going to get at least a week off here, more than.
There's a danger, obviously, particularly in the National League the last couple of years. The Braves and Dodgers have found that out the hard way, that when you get rest,
sometimes you get a little rusty, and it can happen. But I would say this, that with the frequency that we have thrown our high leverage guys, and I'm talking about the top five guys in that bullpen, I think it's going to do them some good. I really do. And I don't know how our rotation's going to stack out. I think the biggest thing going forward, and maybe we'll have time to talk about this next week, is the return of Stephen Kwan, not just in body, but in mind. Like, he has got to be the Stephen Kwan that we saw the first 3 months of the year in order for this team to get where it wants to get.
Outstanding. Chris, you know we love talking to you every week. Thank you. And, of course, we're checking out the Rose Rotation. Austin Hedges, you heard a little bit of it there. Go listen to the entire podcast. Thanks, Chris.
All right, boys. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
As always.
Thank you. Chris Rose on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There's a story that is super interesting in college football and has to do with UNLV's starting quarterback, Matthew Sluka. And, you know, the question about him is he got into this deal. He came over from Holy Cross to be their starting quarterback. And, Jeff, now he's saying that he will not play in any more games this season for UNLV, citing certain representations not being upheld by the program, which all makes us believe that NIL that was promised was not delivered.
That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Well, welcome to the new world of college football.
And UNLV is 3-0 for the first time since 1984.
All right, a little bit of information, guys. Sorry, I hate to cut you off. The following players not practicing today due to injury. Tackle Jack Conklin with the hamstring injury. Running back Jerome Ford with a knee injury. Defensive end Miles Garrett. You ready for this? Foot, Achilles, thigh. So in other words,
his whole leg.
Yeah, you could have just put a whole leg.
There's one real key word there.
Achilles?
That's the one.
Yeah. The only thing that's not on here is knee. So, yeah, Miles Garrett not practicing today. Foot, Achilles, thigh. Linebacker Jordan Hicks dealing with a rib injury and an elbow injury. Tight end David Njoku with an ankle injury. Running back Pierre Strong with the hamstring injury. Tackle Jedrick Wills with a knee injury. So, DeJuan Jones not on here.
All right, but the other two tackles are.
Okay.
All right, just going through it one more time. Conklin, Ford, Garrett.
Jordan Hicks.
Oh, Hicks. Couldn't even read my own handwriting.
You're good.
Njoku, Wills, and who was the other person?
Pierre Strong.
Oh, Pierre Strong. Ugh. All right, so your running back situation is brutal, and your offensive line is brutal.
It's Wednesday. They practice Friday, they can play. Hate to be that blunt about it, but that's the NFL. We all know that. Guys sit out Wednesday practice a lot. If they're on the field on Friday, they usually play. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned.
Jerome Ford, concerns on that, Jeff. I got it. But okay. You got two running backs that are...
Andy, they don't use them anyway.
You are Dr. Cheerful sometimes. Well, yes, I understand.
They gave the running backs 12 carries the other day in a game that you weren't out of and you weren't passing well.
What did Foreman have last?
My major was in telecommunications, not football. I know if you're not passing the ball well and you do it poorly, maybe you should try running. Sorry.
Maybe you should have majored in football. The way you sound right now. You seem to have the answer on that, and I don't disagree with you. I think every Browns fan that watched that game last week didn't need to have a major in football.
Statistically, they're one of the worst passing teams in the NFL right now, and yet they've passed the third most times, at least before the Monday games.
Do you think that that's going into the game with a game plan that said, no matter what, I'm throwing the ball. No matter if our offensive line has to have five guys that have never... We're going to take defensive linemen and make them offensive linemen. No matter what it takes, we are going to pass the ball.
I don't know
because
what
Because I don't think that the deficit they were in was so, you know, egregious that they had to throw the ball. They were within two touchdowns the entire game, even when they went back. When you're behind, I don't understand... It seems to me like they're saying, this is the way we are going to do it, and we are not going to adjust. I don't understand why they didn't. And by the way, like Andrew said, or was it Chris, that when you look at their best offensive play in the second half, it's when your quarterback ran the ball. Your quarterback ran the ball. I don't get it.
I don't know what it was except for this. It didn't work.
Dan, is that analytics telling you this is? Because I think analytics would have told you to run the ball against that defense. And I don't care who their opponents were before. At least you got to try that. It's just it's mind-boggling how simple it seems on the outside. And maybe we're all the idiots. Is the emperor not wearing clothes on this thing or what?
You're gonna hate my answer. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't. I don't know. I mean, it's
Dan, you're right.
It seems.
I mean, why would you continually try to throw the football when your offensive line isn't there, your quarterback's not getting rid of the ball fast, and you're not good at it?
Because you're not going to deviate off the game plan you had walking in the stadium.
I don't believe that, Andy.
Well, then why did they pass the balls? Give me an answer.
Why don't you text Daryl? He's going to be out at the thing, and maybe he can ask.
And do you think they're going to give us the? Oh, of course,
no,
you know,
I don't.
Unless maybe they were calling run plays, and maybe there was audibles at the line. That's the only thing with it. We got to bring in every variable here. So I don't know. I don't have these answers. It seems very un-Stefanski to not run the ball. That's how Stefanski has built his offense.
Or find his tight ends, too.
It seems very un-Kevin Stefanski. So maybe this is a Ken Dorsey influence. Maybe this is something else. I don't know.
It's been brought up to me several times by people just around me. I'm not going to say there are experts. It's just people who observe the game.
We're throwing stuff at the wall and hoping for the best.
Well, I mean, how many times do we watch Deshaun Watson walk up to the line and adjust? I remember seeing it a couple times, maybe twice during the game. How often is Deshaun looking at guys and pointing at guys on the other side of the defense or moving wide receivers or moving someone? Like, you just don't see – I don't know that he's just not that quarterback. But how many times have you seen great quarterbacks walk up to the line, immediately see something – fix it before they have a chance to even get, you know, into formation to snap the ball. Those are other things that I think people are starting to notice now about the ability to adjust on offense and how that's got to change, especially when your offensive line is as beat up as it is. Let's come back. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. He'll be live from Berea. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Guardians still in the hunt, man. Be the top seed in the American League.
Isn't that
just
cool?
A couple games left. It's been an amazing story. We're going to talk more about it. Coming up in a little bit, we're hoping that Deshaun Watson speaks a little bit later. If he does, you'll be able to hear that, just like you heard Kevin Stefanski right here on 92.3 The Fan. Of course, we always have his press conferences a little bit earlier in the show. We talked to Chris Rose. We talked to Andrew Siciliano. Both of those interviews are available on the Odyssey app, the Baskin and Phelps podcast. We love having you on board for that. A lot of things said, not a lot of clarity, though, when it comes to what we just heard from Kevin Stefanski. I'll start with this point, Jeff, that, you know, Kevin, I asked that question about analytics because we could sit here and we could argue till we're blue in the face about why didn't they run the ball more last week? And the question came back up about analytics and how to do that. And I thought it was, I don't know if Kevin's trying to protect the analytics department or if he's trying to protect someone because he does a fantastic job. Like, you know, Chris Rose said, he's never, ever, ever going to throw anyone under the bus. But he talked about it being a gut feeling. And I don't know that he said that many times on, you know, what they're deciding to do and how they're trying to run a play. And I don't know whose gut feeling it is. Is it, you know, Ken Dorsey's maybe a little bit? Is it Kevin Stefanski's? Is it Deshaun Watson's after he says hike? So at least he gave me a little bit there that make me think, okay, this may not be, we are going to look at a menu and we are not leaving that menu no matter what, even if I think we probably should be running the ball here.
I just think they have to, they've got to have a feel for it. And if it's not working, I mean, throwing the ball wasn't working the other day. So historically, they've run the ball well. Maybe with a new offensive coordinator, it's not the same type of thing. All I know, Andy, is I listened to Kevin speak there for 15 minutes, and my whole thought was, well, based on everything you said, I can't wait till Friday. And I say that because, okay, everything seemed to be, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And I don't know that he's in a position to say anything else. I mean, with all the injuries and all, of course you'll see. And does that mean, you know, what does that mean for running the ball? Well, we'll see. I get it. But, man, it's a tough place to be in right now after three games.
There was a little bit more said about DeJuan Jones today and his knee affecting the way he's playing. He really, really struggled last game. He struggled. He watched guys go by him left and right. And how much of that is the injury? That's, I think that's quite a fair question.
Anybody who's had any kind of a knee injury, anybody, so when they say you're good to go, does it still feel like it used to before you got hurt? I don't think so. You know,
I know you get into that lockup
yeah.
feeling too, and where your knee's locking up and you just can't, your mind is saying, hey, I got to pivot, I've got to plant, I've got to do this, I've got to be able to move side to side. And your mind is right, but I don't know that it's always firing on all cylinders to the synapses into your knee.
And this gets back to what...
Does your knee have synapses?
I don't know.
Your brain does.
It's what we've talked about for some time, which is this. Okay, you had a knee injury, you had a fill-in-the-blank injury, and you come back. Doesn't necessarily mean you're like 110% again.
No.
It means, okay, I can play with this knee. I'm good to go. I'm safe to go on the football field. Doesn't mean you're going to move the same. And, you know, Jack Conklin hasn't been back yet. Jed Wills was, and I don't know that people were thrilled with what they saw.
Sounds like Jack was going to be back this
week. It sounds
weekend.
Like it, and then he had...
It was going to be.
Yeah, but what happens? He had a hamstring. You don't think that was related to his knee? It's all tied together, isn't it?
I don't know. They didn't say which leg it was. I mean, what if it was the other leg?
Even if it was a different leg, I mean...
Is it overcompensation?
Exactly. Yeah. And DeJuan is, you know, DeJuan's 6'8", 370.
He's a big boy.
You don't think it's going to take a little while to get that knee back to 100%? You know, I mean, think of it this way. Hey, your knee might be messed up. I think your knee's doing a fine job supporting a 6'8", 370-pound guy. God bless that knee. It's got its work cut out for it, just getting out of bed in the morning.
It's got its own zip code. The other thing no one talks about, because they don't want to hear the excuse and they don't want to give anything any time because there's no patience for anything, that you do have a new running back coach. You do have a new offensive coordinator, for whatever that's worth, because Kevin's still calling the plays. So I don't know how much, you know, we can sit here and say, well, this is this Ken Dorsey offense. Is it? I mean, if Kevin's calling the plays, you know, Ken could put 100 new pages into the playbook offensively or take 100 pages out. At the end of the day, Kevin is the one that's saying we're running red right 88, right? We're running
that one didn't
white,
work.
I know.
We're call something else.
I know it was the first play I thought of. Sorry. We're running white 25 right. Okay. So I look at it. I do think there needs to be some patience there too. Who knows? Coordinators sometimes just last for a year, depending on where they are. Hopefully
they last for a year.
Well, I'm saying I hope they last for a year because your team had so much success that someone wants to look at them as a head coach somewhere else. Or there's the other side of the coin where you've had failure and you didn't live up to the expectations of the season. Or there's the other side of the coin, which is now has three sides, which is a very unique coin in itself.
It's an odd coin.
Yes, it is. But the other one is to protect the head coach. Let's look. I mean,
put that in that little change purse.
I don't know. Do you carry around a change purse?
No. Nope.
I just want to make sure. The other part of it is that you're trying to protect your head coach. You're like, well, you know, we'll give the head coach another year and we'll fire the defensive coordinator. Nah, let's fire the offensive coordinator. Nah, let's fire the special teams coach. I mean, Kevin doesn't have any more guys that he can come in and say, I need to fire. All three of these guys are new over the last, what, 2 years? So, or three? Two, three? Two
One.
Years? What?
One. Running back.
Oh, no, I'm talking about special teams, defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator.
So, yeah, that's true.
I mean, all these things are kind of sitting out there, and I think we're all kind of wondering, why didn't they run the ball more? I have more to talk about with what Kevin said. I just want to take a quick phone call. Nate's in West Salem. Hi, Nate.
Hello, Nate.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. All right, so last week I called in and said, hey, you know, the Giants are probably going to have a chance to beat us if these four things occur, and these four things occurred. Watson was an average at-best quarterback. We were going to continue to have penalties, in which case we actually substituted penalties by not penalizing much, but that led to more sacks. We gave up some big plays on D, but here's number four, and I said this is going to be the key. And Phelpsy, I think you're finally, it's like the Emperor in Star Wars saying to Luke, I can feel your anger. I think you finally now get it, what I've been saying for years. Coach of the year does not know how to run the ball. He doesn't know. The run game is always a supplement to the passing game. He actually doesn't know how to run the ball to win a game. Remember when Belichick came in here in a snowstorm and ran it passed it three times and ran it the rest of the game, and we still had the same over 50% pass, less than 50% run. That's why we can't win these games. You've got an offensive line that can't move laterally because of all their busted up body parts, but they can move forward. You've got a quarterback that scrambles so much that he either gets sacked or the guys commit penalties to get him, keep him from getting sacked. And the solution to all of this, go forward 80% of the time. Then you supplement the game plan with a little bit of passing to keep the defense honest. That's my point.
Nate, I think he knows how to run the ball. I have questioned in the past the game times you run the ball. You know, there to me, there are times when he should run the ball and he hasn't. I'll just give you this. When he had a good running back, a healthy running back, primo running back in Nick Chubb, last time he was healthy, Browns were, what, sixth in the NFL in rushing yards. And that you had a good back, you used a good back, you knew when to run the ball. There are times when I think he should run the ball and he doesn't, and it's because of game script. And last week was one of them. Should have run the ball and he didn't.
This year, with this team, with the injuries and with an unconfident and inaccurate Deshaun, the only way to win games is to have an over 50% play call of runs. Dominate the game with runs. Supplement.
Can't argue. Can't argue with you, Nate.
Nate, thank you. Appreciate your phone call. 216-474-0092. You can always hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads. One of the other points that he made today during the press conference, he sounded more optimistic about Nick Chubb than I think I've heard in a while. Someone said, hey, is there any chance he's coming back next week? Because the 4 weeks will be up. You're going into week five. You're on the IR for 4 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, you have to make another decision on what you want to do with Nick Chubb. Do you want to keep him on the IR? That means he's out for another 4 weeks. You could bring him back to the active roster. That would take up a spot, but he'd be eligible to play over, you know, immediately if you wanted him to, or if you needed, you think he's 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away, they would have that. He just kind of said he's doing well. I was kind of surprised to even hear him say that. So
it was nice to hear, Andy. I just don't expect the guy to be back anytime soon. I'm being extremely cautious because I think he's a precious commodity. And look what's happened when you've put a couple of offensive linemen on the field who are coming back from knee injuries.
That was bad.
They haven't done well. And there have been issues. And, you know, Nick's not 24 years old anymore. You know, Nick is pushing 30. Man, you push 30, two devastating knee injuries in the same knee, just give him all the time he needs and then some. I'm just not hurrying him.
It looks like the whole, you know, the whole running back scenario is a little bit banged up this week, too, with Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong. But you also said, Jeff, let's just hold our breath on this and see what happens on Sunday to see if these guys can play. It's still early in the week, and maybe they're just getting the day off. Okay, we've got a lot more to talk about today. We're hopefully hearing from Deshaun Watson. If he speaks today in Berea, we will carry his press conference live. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about what Kevin Stefanski had to say. A ton of notes from what he said. It's funny, there are times you listen to him and you're like, did he actually say something? I think he did say a few things today. So we'll dive into a little bit more about that in a moment. 216-474-0092. We are standing by. Hopefully, Deshaun Watson's going to speak here. Probably, I don't know, within the next, it could be shortly. It could be maybe 10, 20 minutes away. So we're hoping that he's speaking today so we can get the lowdown from the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
I don't want to derail you.
Well, you're good at that. Go ahead.
Is this anything?
Yes.
We're talking about running the ball, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of running depends on where you are in the game, okay, with many teams. Mm-hmm. The top six teams in rushing attempts in the NFL through three games have a combined record of 12-6. Okay. The bottom six teams, as far as rush attempts, and you could make the argument, well, they're behind, they have to throw. Might be very true. Have a combined record of 3-15.
I assume we're in that group.
That is true. Yeah. Browns are one of the lowest running teams in the league. In the bottom six in rush attempts. Despite the fact that they've been in games where they haven't scored more than 18 points.
True.
Weird.
That is very weird. There was a point in the press conference today, Jeff, where They talked about protecting Deshaun, or I'm sorry, that Kevin talked about protecting Deshaun. He said, our job is to protect him, and it all starts with me. What does that mean? I don't see Kevin jumping out on the field and suiting up.
This goes back to this. Okay, other teams have offensive line issues. Scheme up something better that works. It's what he better mean.
Or does that mean play calling?
Well, yeah, that's part of it.
But is that him saying, I've got to call better plays?
No, it means he's got to scheme it better. Ken Dorsey has to scheme it better. Andy, you've got an offensive line that's all beat to you-know-what, and you've got a quarterback who's hanging on to the ball. I'm sorry. Again, my degree was in telecommunications. I know that that's a bad combination. Line beat up. Quarterback holding ball. I mean, is it any more complicated than that? I truly don't think it is.
I don't know. You could always put ball on ground, kick ball through upright.
That's not running the ball.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused.
Leave Dustin Hopkins alone. He's doing fine.
They could have used those 3 points.
Yeah, they could have used a lot of points.
That's true. I had another point here, and it was just when you're a head coach and you continually go out there and say, this is on me, this is on me, it eventually is going to become you. I mean, I know he's protecting everybody, and I respect him for that. I think his players respect him for that. I think that's a good way to keep the locker room on your side if you're a head coach. But I just think after a while, if you say it enough times, everything does come back on you, and then you're looking for another job. I think there's a fine line there when saying, okay, this is on me. I've got to fix this.
That's his way of not throwing his team under the bus.
I know.
And he gives you nowhere to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a press conference situation, when he says that, it's like, wow. Okay.
Adam is in Mayfield Heights, home of those Wildcats.
Hello, Adam.
How are you, Adam?
Hey, Jeff and Andy. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I just wanted to talk about the Browns injuries. I just saw the injury report for today. I saw that Jerome Ford's been added. Now Jordan Hicks has been added. And of course, in addition to just all the other injuries we've had so far this year. And then, of course, the injuries we had last year and even the year before. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion if this is potentially a strength and conditioning issue with the Browns as far as the trainers they have or the staff, or if this is just bad luck.
I gotta go, luck. I don't know. Did somebody ask that question yesterday? In a press conference?
No, it came up on our show yesterday.
No, I think somebody asked that in a press conference too.
I'm not buying it, Andy.
I think
you've got top notch trainers.
Yeah.
I just think it's a bad run. I could be wrong completely. My degree's in telecommunications, Andy. That's the third time I've heard that.
Does that degree even exist anymore?
No, I hope not.
I don't think it does.
Well, sure was a waste for me.
Yeah, that's true. And for all of us listening today. Yeah, because I wish you would have majored in football. Things would be a lot better. Josh is in Grand River. Hi, Josh.
Josh.
Howdy, guys. So you guys were talking about the knee injury. Myself, personally, I had the arthroscope surgery done for a bone fragment in my knee. I've had other friends that have had both MCL, PCL, ACL surgery. With that surgery and it being the second time for Nick Chubb, putting him on the field now and not putting him on RI, on the injured reserve, will be the death of his football career. It is a severe injury. You lose mobility. You lose strength. Your body feels like you're confident, but your body's never the same. So it does take a lot of strength, conditioning to get back to be at that form.
So, Josh, are you surprised he didn't retire?
I'm not surprised that he didn't retire. I don't think that Nick Chubb wanted to go out like that.
Okay.
But it is crucial that the rehab process, with him having that second surgery and it being as severe as the first one, having a long rehab period is crucial. Going out and going back to play or back to work or back to sports, it will affect it. And then the likelihood of it being re-injured and it being more severe is more likely without that rehabilitation.
Okay, so just based on what you're saying, I don't understand why he would even come back and play again ever.
Andy, that to me, that's not out of the question.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying, Josh, and you're somebody that had the injury, but probably didn't play unless you play professional. I don't know,
Josh.
But,
I am actually a
BMX cyclist, so I put my leg down and it. I had a bone fragment, and they were able to do the scope surgery where I didn't need the full surgery. But the full surgery, two times, it's very, very hard to come back from and be at that same capability.
That makes sense. I understand what you're saying. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Andy, I'd be surprised if the guy's back, you know, 8 or 9 games. And I don't mean that he's not doing anything wrong. It's a severe injury to a knee that was already severely injured. I mean, these things are only human parts, you know? You can only fix so much. Stuff gets damaged, and it, unless you're going to put a piece of titanium in there, get a knee replacement, and then you're not going to play football.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder why we look at certain players with similar knee leg injuries and kind of, you know, like people are willing to put Jack Conklin back out there. They're willing to put Jed Wills back out there.
Only if they're ready. Only if they're ready. Conklin's not ready. If he was ready, well, he messed up his hamstring last week.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're not going to put Jerome Ford back out there if he's not ready, but I mean, who knows? There was a feeling before the season, you know, one person's knee injury isn't the same as another, but I'm sure that there are a lot of similarities. And, you know, Jerome did something. I mean, the fact that he was able to, pretty impressive. And to play the way that he played after the first time that he was dealing with a similar issue. So I don't know if you want to include human spirit in there, but you know, you take another shot to that knee, you're going to be in trouble. We all know that.
Absolutely.
Whether you had 0 surgeries, 1 surgery, or 2 surgeries. So,
you know, Nick takes another hit to that knee, Andy, and there's more damage, he's done. So you're not going to hurry him out there.
I don't know that you're going to tell him that, but okay. Well,
except it's true. I mean, let's be real.
I bet people told him after the first injury, you're done.
Well, they did.
Okay, and look what he was able to do after that. So he's able to overachieve.
And
that's why the fans love him.
He better be as close to 100% as he can possibly be, given the state of that knee, before he gets back on the football field. If not, you're more susceptible to injury. If he gets hurt in that knee again, he's probably done for a career. I mean, can you imagine even at his age? Yeah, I'm coming back from a third big knee injury. No, thank you. So just make sure he's okay, and then keep your fingers crossed. It's not like you're gonna get 10 more years out of him anyway. But I give him all the credit for trying to come back, and I hope he does. And he obviously would be such a huge help if he's close to being Nick Chubb. But man, let's just put him on the back burner, and if you get him back, great. It's a nice bonus for this team. And if you don't get him back, all right, maybe you get him back next year.
Any other thoughts from Kevin Stefanski as we kind of move forward? Hopefully we're going to hear from Deshaun Watson coming up here at the top of the hour, but we'll keep our fingers crossed to know that he's going to talk or not. But anything else you got from Kevin Stefanski
today? Andy, all I got out of Kevin today, and maybe it's all that my brain let me hear, was, yet we'll see. And that's a tough place to be after 3 weeks of a season.
Plenty of work to be done, and again, Kevin will tell you it all starts with him, and especially when it comes to protecting their quarterback, who is on pace to be sacked 90 times. 90 times.
Yeah, some of that's on him.
Still, he's still on pace to be sacked 90 times.
Some of that's on him.
All right, let's come back. Hopefully we hear from Deshaun Watson. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Otherwise, the latest word from Berea. Next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, Deshaun Watson's press conference. The last point I thought was interesting, especially knowing that he's been a quarterback that's been on a team that was 0-3 and made the playoffs to start the season. So I think he's right. It's a good thing this thing's falling apart in here. I think he's right on a lot of things that he said, especially the running part of the game and for him. And I cringe when I see a designed running play for him. I think about his injury. I think about him getting hurt. And, you know, it doesn't bother me when he's trying to extend a play especially when he's successful in extending the play. But the designed run, and I'm glad he said that right there at the end. Like, I think Kevin realizes he's coming back from injury. They didn't hire him to be a runner. They hired him to be a guy that can throw the ball and perhaps extend plays. And if he needs to run, okay. But you talk about, like, the biggest play of the second half was his run. And if that's where you're at, then you know you're probably in trouble.
I thought it was interesting that he said, I am not trying to take any hits. Let's talk about that.
Let's do that. We'll come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Buckeyes and Michigan State Saturday. Andrew Siciliano will be calling that game on Peacock, and he was with us today at 10:40. We also talked to Chris Rose today. You heard Kevin Stefanski's press conference, and you just heard Deshaun Watson's press conference. So we keep you covered when it comes to what's going on with not only the Browns, but the Guardians. We talked a little bit about last night where they were able to, you know, take advantage of making it as one of the top two seeds in the American League. And we'll see how things play out for the rest of the year. But all of those things available on the Baskin and Phelps podcast from today. Jeff, we heard from Deshaun, and you had a point you were making as we went to break.
I thought it was interesting to hear him talk about running the ball. And I don't disagree with him at all. He said, I'm not trying to take any hits. I don't blame him, because he's taken a lot of hits in his career. And again, he's not built like Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar lost some weight and he's leaner. He's not built like Josh Allen. You know, Deshaun is not that thick of a football player. And he said he's not trying to run the ball. Only issue there is this. Sometimes you might need to move out of that pocket a little bit more, Andy, just to, you know, get yourself some space. That doesn't mean you're trying to run the ball. He clearly can make plays with his feet and clearly is mobile enough to get out of the pocket and do some things and buy some time. But, you know, he talked about getting rid of the ball earlier and didn't really say, I have to. He said, it depends on this and this and this and this and this. Okay. Bottom line, you better get rid of the ball faster or you're going to get hit. But that's been the story of his career.
So you know what he'll say to you?
He takes a lot of sacks.
He'll come back and say, nobody else is in the meeting room. We know the reads. And what else did he actually say?
The plays aren't designed for him to get hit.
I see the game not the way the fans see it.
I know, but the plays aren't designed for him to get hit.
I would agree with you on that. But he doesn't seem to want to, I don't either say it today or just verbalize it or just understand. I don't. If he came out and said, you know what, guys, I'm watching this offense. I think I see what a lot of people see in this, and I normally don't. I'm not saying that he needs to address outside noise, but, I mean, he's got to say, you know, if they're going to have these kind of injuries to the offensive line, he's going to have to tweak his game. I don't see any other way. And it doesn't sound like he's about to do that. At least that's the way he sounded today. Yeah, do you agree or disagree?
It sounded that way, didn't it?
That he's not going to tweak his game. So just expect. Well, at some point,
You're interpreting something on that, and I would interpret it the same way.
Okay.
Based on what I heard him say, I don't know if it's fair for us to interpret what he said.
We're all rooting for him to be successful.
Without question.
But I think sometimes, again, you don't want to be the emperor that's not wearing any clothes. I can't see this offense surviving with him as the starting quarterback the same way. And if it is, I just don't see a lot of positive results if that's what's going to happen. And going back to the beginning of the show, if things aren't going the right way, you're financially and organizationally committed to him to being the quarterback. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show you're going to watch, because he's en route to being sacked 90 times this year. So something has to change. I mean, this isn't, you know, whether you're a fan or you're a quarterback or you're, you know, the greatest mind in the history of the game, everybody knows that if your quarterback ends up on his back 90 times, and that's not even talking about, you know, rushing the quarterback or putting pressure on the quarterback.
Or hits.
Yeah, or just taking a little bit of a hit where there's no flag, no sack. That something has to change. And you've got to adapt or die, right? Isn't that what it is? Harvey is in.
Adapt or get hurt, and you don't play anymore.
Harvey is in Los Angeles. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Harvey. Hi, guys. You know what? You guys, everything you say about the team, I agree with 100%. My question is this. We know that the line is bad. We got that. They're working on that. Now, let's talk about Deshaun. You guys talk baseball all the time, and you have a starting pitcher that pitches okay for a couple of innings, and then you see he's not doing well, so you take him out and put in a reliever. Isn't it, based on what we have with the line and stuff, time to put in a reliever to see how they could do, and then you can always go back to him?
Harvey, I have said that since the first day we went on the air. I totally agree with that. Teams are just so reluctant to do that. What you want to tell me that in week one, when Dallas was all over the Browns, at the end of the game, you couldn't have put Jameis Winston in at the end just to protect Deshaun, and they wouldn't even do that?
Listen, I think DTR can play as well as Deshaun right now. Okay, and I don't understand it. I know it's ego, I guess. Everything you've said about Deshaun, it's water under the bridge. He's got his money. That's okay. Everything's okay. But what do we do today, right now? Everything else is moot. I don't understand it. I just don't. I know Winston.
It's a hard watch. It's a very hard watch right now. It is. Well, I think anyone will tell you that.
Well, look, thank you very much for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
And I'm a 74 Kent grad.
Ooh.
Just remember, 133 out of 133 Division I teams, we are proud.
Thank you, Harvey.
That is right, Harvey. We're in a select group.
What are we in? The group of what, then?
133.
Yeah. Nelson is in Lakewood. Hello, Nelson.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, Nelson.
You are trying to figure this out.
I know. I'm pretty psyched. I'm going to my first Gardo's game tonight, so I'm pretty excited.
Ever?
But like for this season, so I'm kind of psyched about it.
And you have a chance to wrap up the Ohio Cup.
Didn't we win it last night?
No, you tied it. But it's not going anywhere. I mean, you can just flat out win it tonight.
We win the tie. Oh,
bring
man.
On the champagne.
Woo. Yeah, did you get duped by the AI pictures, by the way?
Last night I did. I looked at it last night and said, what are they doing? And then they had the champagne, and I thought, and then I was told this morning that maybe the champagne was real, but then it's not real, and now we all found out that it was all. How about there was a story in Cincinnati, I think it was Cincinnati Inquirer, just ripping, or at least taking note of what the T-shirt said, believing that it was real, too.
I wonder if AI can come up with a power hitter who can hit about 330 as well.
I know. Junkinski Noel is struggling a little bit, but Manzardo is like picking it up, so I'm excited. But anyways,
have fun.
You know, guys, is it me? Or does Deshaun look completely like, I don't know, disengaged or disconnected? And listen, like, it's hard because we saw a guy come off the street, off the couch last year in the offense and like produce immediately. And his fans, and I'll only speak for me because I don't know diddly about putting together an offense or what it takes to protect.
Were you a telecommunications major at Kent State? Because you guys are all coming out of the woodwork today. Thank you. Keep going. Sorry, Nelson.
But I'm not blind. I see what we see, and it looks awful. Like, it looks completely awful. And please don't tell me that Kevin Stefanski all of a sudden forgot how to put together an offense. Because to me, he's a good, young, up-and-coming coach. And right now it's looking awful. And, I mean, listen, I'll watch the Browns. I'll root for them until the day I die. But as a fan, it's a terrible look right now. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
No argument. All right? No argument there.
I think the one part that he said is that I don't want to see Kevin become a kicker, right? Where they all of a sudden they're with their original team. Why are you looking? Are you looking at me like I'm crazy? Oh, I thought you were looking.
No, I'm looking at the schedule.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Andy.
I take
a lot of things personally.
Oh no! Sometimes you look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm saying, usually for good reason. Well, we've been doing this like longer than most marriages.
I just made Menigan snicker. Anytime I can get a snicker out of Dan, I'm happy. Even a Milky Way. Okay.
So my point is, though, I don't want to see
you owe a lap for that one.
I don't want to see Kevin Stefanski become a kicker. where he's on one team and you wonder why it looked okay.
I want him to be here for 10 years.
I do too.
Make it 15. I want Tomlin.
I want us to be the Steelers as far as
exactly
consistency with their head coaches. But
and front office. And front office.
And front office. And quarterback.
Can I?
Successful quarterback.
I don't want this. Everybody hates this, but I believe this stuff. They're 1-2, mm-hmm. Okay? You've got the Raiders.
Yeah.
You have the Commanders.
Playing the schedule game right now?
No, looked really good against Cincy.
Right.
And you've got the Eagles coming up.
Okay.
If you go through these next three games and you don't win at least one of them, you got a problem. Big problem. Because that would put you, at 1-whatever it is.
Well, you were giving me two. You were giving me a second win there, right?
Even at 2-4, you kind of got a problem. So you've got to really win two of these next three games. And I think it's a 17-game season. Before any drastic conclusions are drawn, you've got to get through 5, 6, 7 games. However, with the issues the offensive line is having, Andy, there's an urgent need to get it right and get it fixed. And, they just put Jermaine Ifedi on the roster, okay? Well, Jermaine was a first-round draft choice and has extensive starting experience in the NFL. It doesn't mean he's a great offensive lineman, but it certainly he's a pro. So put him in there and make it work. How do you make it work? That's for them to figure out.
Well, Kevin said so today.
They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And Andy, teams deal with injured offensive linemen all the time.
This team
all
has.
The time.
Yes.
So, and not just our team, and they make it work. And that's what this team has to do: figure it out.
Fred is in Cleveland. Hi, Fred.
Hello, Fred.
I'm feeling down, man, because
we all are.
You know, for the last few years, man, I've trusted you guys to give me honest truth about the Browns and where we're headed. And all I keep hearing and all I've heard was Super Bowl, Super Browns.
That's
right?
Wrong show, dude.
I listen to all three because I drive for a living.
Cool.
Right? And it's just like, I'm so bummed out, man, because like I had a cart full of Brown merch. I can't even pull the trigger on it, man, because my ideology of wearing loser's apparel right now is just is bothering me, man. You know what I mean? Like I can't even put on Browns gear. I remember when I was happy to wear Browns gear because I felt proud to be the underdog, and I knew every dog has his day, right? That's what I was told, man. But I knew back then I still felt good to wear that clothing, even though we were losing, because the talent we had just wasn't matching up with the talent in the league at that time.
Right.
Things shifted. We have talent now, and things are still the same. So please help me be able to buy this Browns merch. I know the Haslams want us to continue to buy merch. Right?
Fred, I'm going to give you one piece of advice today. For the next 24 hours, do yourself a favor. Go buy yourself some Guards merch just for this week.
You'll feel better. Guards merch, man.
There you
thank
go.
You.
Fred, thank you.
Merch. Aren't you guys hip?
We are. We're very cool. talk more about this. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.